Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Overeats Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, October 31st, 2024, and we are reading from the Big Book, continuing in We Agnostics, page 56, the second paragraph, One Night When Confined in a Hospital, that whole paragraph, through to Who Are You to Say There Is No God. Today's readers are Margaret D., who will read the text, and Penny L.C. is reading Vision for You and is also kindly our backup this morning. Our newcomer greeter is Alex K., and Shelley E. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, October 30th at 10 a.m. Eastern is 21,875, 21875. And for Thursday, October 31st, so that was this morning's earlier Eastern meeting, 7 a.m., 21,877, 21877. OA Preamble. Overeats Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. And everyone make sure that they're muted, please. Thank you. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeats Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 steps of OA for us. Thank you, Joanne.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much for your service, Sue, and everybody on the line, especially the newcomers. I'm Joanne L. from Rhode Island and still recovering. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. in Rhode Island. I will now ask Jan L. in Florida to please join us and read the tradition. Thank you, Jan.
Good morning. Thank you, and everyone else doing service. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our OA public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Joanne and Jan, for your service in October. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter We Agnostics. We are on page 56, second paragraph, One Night When Confined in a Hospital, through to Who Are You to Say There Is No God? And I'd now like Margaret D. to please unmute, join us, start reading and commenting on this paragraph. Thank you, Margaret, so much. Margaret, star one.
Hey, I'm sorry, I was double muted there.
No problem. Thank you.
Let's see. So one night when confined in a hospital, he was approached by an alcoholic who had known a spiritual experience. Our friend's gorge rose as he bitterly cried out, "If there is a God, he certainly hasn't done anything for me." But later, alone in his room, he asked himself this question, "Is it possible that all the religious people I have known are wrong?" While pondering the answer, he felt as though he lived in hell. Then, like a thunderbolt, a great thought came. It crowded out all else. Who are you to say there is no God? Whew, what a paragraph. I think I have more questions about this paragraph than I do. I do have a lot of questions about this paragraph myself. And I just want to make a real quick apology. There is a small discussion about what the term gorge meant. And after I butted in and had my little piece, then I went and got the dictionary and looked it up. and my definition was completely wrong. And here is the definition of gorge. It is a feeling of resentment, disgust, anger, or et cetera. And then the illustration they used was to make one's gorge rise. So I can imagine this individual, I guess his name was Fitzmayu, in the hospital, just irritated beyond belief. And I know that feeling of restlessness, cynicism, the anger, the really negative attitudes that I, emotional attitudes that I had before I began to experience the relationship with the higher power, I was so bitter, just so absolutely bitter. And I can so identify with this, with him saying, if there's a God, he certainly hasn't done anything for me. I remember when I was about 10 years old, after going through a lot of different circumstances, one was the death of a parent, and then another one was some farm animals had been, some farm animals had come to a very unsavory ending erroneously. And there was a grandmother that moved in with us and she passed away. I mean, it just seemed like one thing after another just kept happening over and over and over again. And so on this one particular night when, like I said, I was probably about 10 years old, I went out in the moonlight and was having a little communion with God. And I just so clearly remember this saying, if this is the best that you can do, God, no, thank you. I'll do it. I can handle it on my or by myself. And that was the way I ran my life for the next 60 years. Well, say maybe 55 years. And so I just can't.
Margaret.
Okay, I'll just pass. I mean, close with this. Where he says, is it possible that all the religious people I've known are wrong? That was his higher power, just tapping at the edge of his consciousness. And that experience happens to all of us sooner or later. If it's not, it can be done by the educational variety of experience also. And so with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Margaret, for getting us going. And if you came in midway through Margaret's lovely share, we are on page 56, the second paragraph, one night when confined in a hospital, through to who are you to say there is no God? Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you'd like to share, please give me your first name, last name, and state or country where you are calling from this morning. Star one to unmute. Thank you, everyone. I'm ready.
Lilia C.
Lilia, was that C?
Yes.
And where are you calling from, Lilia?
Colorado.
Thank you. Who else would like to share on this paragraph this morning?
Teresa B.
Teresa B. And Teresa, where are you calling from?
California.
Fabulous. Okay.
Jan L. Jan L. Florida.
Thank
Rita
you,
Jan.
Rita Q. Thank you. All right, let's stop there. I've got Lilia C. from Colorado, Teresa B. from California, Janelle from Florida, and Rita Q. from the UK. So could everybody other than Lilia please mute? Thank you, Lilia. Please join us and share.
Hi, my name is Lilia C., compulsive overeater. Oh, I have been wanting to share. This is my absolute story. So I have, my father was actually like delivered from alcoholism overnight when I was a kid, so I knew the power of God. I absolutely knew the power of God because I saw it. It was to the point of where we were like in safe houses, and you know, it was just horrible. So I saw my dad delivered. So now going into my story, I have been a Christian all my life, except for, you know, that overdose of religion when I was about 18. I decided I was an atheist for about 4 or 5 years. And then I realized I needed God. But going into this, learning about my disease, I had religion. I went to church, and I still go to church every day, and I'm in the middle of a relapse. I'm on day one again. And it always stems back to that, you know, those darn calamities of life. My son passed away 2 years ago now, year and a half ago. So it's just like that guy, you know, suicide within the family. My dad is 68 with dementia. All of these things, but I turn to agnosticism. I turn to wanting to do this myself. And in myself, I will go to food. And make a big mess of myself and go into depression and go into, you know, all of these things, just like this preacher's son. And I am on day one, and I'm very thankful to come back to stability again and sanity. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lilia C. from Colorado. Next, we have Teresa B. in California. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning. This is Teresa P. from California, a recovered compulsive overeater, and grateful for this wonderful meeting. And I really, really need it. And I'm so, I wanted to have this spiritual thing, and I'm all fixed. But, you know, it didn't work out quite that way. But you know what? You know, the awakening is working really good. And I just get it one step at a time, and there are miracles all around me. And life is just really, really hard sometimes. And going through a particularly tough patch now with, you know, my husband being really having multiple things happen, bad eye surgeries, and then his body falling apart, all not working, and the dementia-like symptoms now. And it's just like, now his heart's acting up, his lungs are getting that. It's like, okay, great. See. And what I get to do is thank God I have a pillow. Oh, by the way, I'm sick too. And what I get to do is, you know, take it to God by the 12 steps, steps 10, 11, 12, 10, 11, 12. And it works. And it doesn't mean I'm happy all the time. In fact, I had to keep my mouth shut this morning rather than say things that I wanted to say that were not going to help the situation. And just be grateful. Oh, I started with the gratitude list. Yes, gratitude is a wonderful thing. And but it all helps with this spiritual awakening. And, you know, I'm learning more than I've ever learned in my life. It's like being reborn. No, I'm born again. Because, you know, I grew up in the disease. And I started from the food so early, I don't even remember. And I didn't learn how to do life. And today, I get to learn how to do life, you know, with the big book and you know, the programs, and one step at a time. So I'm just all so grateful that I get this opportunity to share, and I hope everybody has a great rest of the day. I know I'm deciding right now to have a great rest of the day. Thank you for letting me share my path.
Thank you so much, Teresa B. in California. Next, we have Jan L. in Florida. Thank you, Jan.
Good morning, Vision Fellows. This is Janelle in Florida. So when I read this paragraph and I relate to my problem with God, I think of it as a little more subtle than some of the shares I've heard this morning. And the reason is I play God, and I don't even know I'm doing it. So Smith's recovery, really challenging. I also think I know and understand many things, and that's my control. So, you know, if I am to answer or look at this where it says, the part I can relate to most is where it says, who are you to say there is no God? So, yeah, that humbles me. And I say, okay, who am I? Why am I playing God? I can see that. I can understand that. But then before you know it, I'm innately kind of switched into that, doing that. And I think today, there's very little that I actually know, but today my conclusion to that is that I because I don't want to feel anything, and I've been living in some form of this disease since I was very small, and because I was taught that you just, if you want to get something done, you do it. If there's a problem, you figure out what you got to do, and you do it, or you don't do anything, and you let it go. So that's all control to me. That's the way to manage. I just want to feel calm and not upset so that I think I got it. And so it's really subtle. I don't know that I'm playing God. I might be going to meetings. I might be talking to my fellows. But I'm in this control mode that is very subtle. And I don't really realize what I'm doing until later. And it could be too late when it comes to my compulsive overeating because I'm the real chronic type of compulsive eater. The only solution for me is this Big Book 12-step way. I tried the other ways many years, but I still, even in this way and doing the steps many, many times in recent years, I'll still switch back into that and not know it. So the only way I know to get past that is to just develop friends and people who know me who will call me out on it and stay connected because I cannot see it until it's too late. So I'll agree. Say, oh, yeah, those religious people are great. Or I'll
that's time
go, then. Oh, you know, but then I'll just switch into the subconscious state of thinking I know and playing God. Thank you very much. Pat.
Thank you, Jan Ellen, Florida. Thank you. Next, we have Rita Q in the UK. Good morning, miss. Rita?
Hi, everybody. Yeah, I'm there. Sorry, I couldn't unmute. My name's Rita Q, recovered, not cured. Thank you, Susan. Thanks to everybody on the line. Hello, my friends and family. I really love this paragraph, actually. That's why I had to come in, because it reminds me of the bitter morass of self-pity. You know, he's lying in a hospital bed and he's like, he hasn't done anything for me. She made me do this. They made me do that. It just reminds me of before I came to the program, it was everybody else's fault. And it was I to the tune of me. And that was all I could see. And now it's about saying my part. And actually to say that there's no God for me personally is extremely arrogant, because that means that I believe I am the God. Because if there's no God for me, he can't take away my food obsession. He can't make me, you know, I can't get to any level of humility, because God is either everything or he is nothing. What was my choice to be? And it is a choice. He's facing a choice now. You know, and what I love about this is God doesn't always, I'm not always sure what my higher power wants me to do, but I know what he doesn't want me to do. And the thing is, he will reintroduce something again and again and again until I get it. And it's like that question, yeah, maybe those religious people are all the millions of religious people across the world. But, you know, I think loads of us have seen that, you know, that animation where it says, you know, you take God out of the Big Book, there's about 3 pages left. For me, I can't do this. I tried to do this, you know, without God. I tried to be my own God. I tried to be a higher power. It just didn't work. I tried to be everybody else's higher power. It was just a complete shit show. So for today, what I have is peace. And I know God is real because I know the disease is real. You know, and those two things, I need one to work against the other, because otherwise I'm on the desert. you know, thinking about where the nearest service station is, and that ain't going to work because I've tried that for years and it never worked. I'm just really grateful today. I'm grateful to be on this line, really grateful for sobriety, and I'm just grateful that I know that I now have a relationship with a higher power, the God of my understanding, not the God of fear and damnation that I grew up with, but I have a relationship now, but it's like a muscle. I have to practice using it every moment, every day, otherwise it goes dormant. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Rita. Okay, before I take the next lineup of names, in case you aren't sure what we're talking about today, we're on page 56 in We Agnostics, second paragraph, page 56, one night when confined in the hospital through to who are you to say there is no God? So if this is your third day to share, please unmute and give me your first name, last initial, and the state or country you're calling from. We have plenty of time.
Blair S. in California.
Thank you, Blair.
Pam B. D. in Alabama.
Pam B. Andy. In Alabama.
Candy C. in California.
Hold on one second. Candy in California. I got you the lady from Alabama. It was Pam B. for boy, correct?
Linda C. That's Linda G. What am I saying?
Linda. Okay. Linda G. And where are you calling from, Linda?
Alabama.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Whenever he speaks at once, it's not always easy. Okay. I got Blair. I got Candy. I got Linda. Did I miss anybody? A few people came in at once.
Pam.
It's Candy.
Yeah.
There is a Pam. Okay. Pam, could you give me your last initial and where you're calling from?
Yes. B as in boy and from
California. Oh, I did get that right. Great. Okay. And then there was somebody else with you, Pam. Who else came on with Pam?
KS from Iowa.
Thank you. Okay, let's stop there. So this is the lineup I have. Blair S. from California. Candy, who will give us her last initial from California. Linda G. from Alabama. Pam B. from California. KS from Iowa. So can everybody other than Blair please mute your line? And Blair, please join us and share.
This is I'm kind of shaking because it's the first time I've ever shared. I'm so thankful for this paragraph today, and actually I've been listening for a couple of months now. I'm so thankful for all the paragraphs. What I can share about this, the line, is it possible that all the religious people I've known are wrong? I've attended church for many, many years, and I remember a gentleman who you would never think would be a Christian explaining that kind of logically he had figured out that he had two ways to live. He could live without believing in a God, and life would be really difficult. You'd feel alone, challenges left and right, or you could just go ahead and believe there's a God, believe you have help, believe you have guidance. And like you said, if I die and I find out there wasn't a God, well, what do you know? My life was so much better because I believed in God. And that's what I was reminded of in this paragraph. I have not been reaching out because I'm just so frustrated with myself. From what I understand in this program, you have to be really desperate to give up all food to start the program, to even work with a sponsor. And I called someone yesterday telling her how much I struggle with chocolate, and she's like, well, you ought to put it out there. But I'm like, well, but no, because I'm not willing to give up the chocolate. I know I'm insane and I need some help, but I'm not willing to give up chocolate. And so she said, well, I think you need to share today, and perhaps some people can give you some feedback or give you some thoughts. So thank you all for being here and allowing me to share. Bye.
Thank you, Blair S. in California. First of many shares you will make here on the line, I'm sure. Next, we have Candy in California. And Candy, if you could please give us your last initial. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll give you my first name, too. My first name is Sandy, like in the beach.
Oh, sorry. Thank you.
It's okay. Sandy T, as in truly, and I'm from California. I want to thank everyone who shared today because I identify with all of your stories, especially the part about being my own God and trying to be everybody else's God, too. But the one thing that that certainly changed my life yesterday was something that I had heard the day before, and I've looked through my journals and I can't find who said it. But what it came down to was every experience is a spiritual experience. And that kept going through my mind all day yesterday. So even if I was in a traffic jam on the way to Santa Cruz, traveling at 5 miles an hour, or trying to help my sister who's wearing a walking boot for her broken foot now in the grocery store, or with my husband in the ER last night, I could keep saying that this is a spiritual experience, and it changed the color. It changed my attitude. It changed everything. And that's what I wanted to share today. Thank you all for being here. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sandy T. in California. Next, we go to Linda G. in Alabama. Thank you, Linda.
This is Linda G., a recovering compulsive overeater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic. I related to this because I had an experience in the hospital where I was so mismedicated that it caused me to have big problems. And they set me up for a particular test that really frightened me. And I didn't want it. And I prayed like my hair was on fire for God's help to get out of this situation and to get out of there where I could receive, go where I could receive proper treatment. And it turned out that there was a substitute physician on duty that night who looked at my chart and said to me and my husband, "You have grounds for a malpractice suit. You've been treated so wrongly. And you should get out of here as fast as you can." And my husband and my brother worked together to get me a substitute doctor. And I was released that night into my husband's care until I could get back into another hospital and get treated properly. And that was all a miracle. Because this test that I was set up for would have been legally binding, and it would have been major difficulties for me. I would never have been able to get out of there. And God intervened on my behalf and sent me where I belonged. He answered my prayers. And I had opened my heart to Him and prayed so hard. I prayed that I would make a commitment to Him for the rest of my life if He just got me out of this situation. But my idea of the commitment I made to Him was to shut down completely, to separate myself from people, places, and things that upset me, and upset me in a way that left me unable to cope. And I got the right medication. I was fine, but I was still terrified of people. And this led me to mistreating myself. I lived in complete isolation for years and didn't start coming out of it until I came to OA. I had been in OA before. And I had looked it up on the internet and seen there were no meetings in my area, but I didn't see the telephone meetings.
Have you tried, Linda?
Thank you. And when somebody made me aware of these telephone meetings, I found visions, and I've been coming ever since. It's made a huge change in my life. I'm getting in touch with people again. And with this, I pass.
Thank you so much, Linda G. in Alabama. Next, we will come back to California. Pam B., please unmute and join us.
Good morning. My name is Pam B. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. Grateful. Thank you, moderator. I'm grateful for everybody on the line, those listening, those who've shared. I relate to you. Each one of you shared something that I could relate to, and I want to share that I'm really believing that you are witnesses that I am going to get. I'm going to be recovered. I've been working on the 10th and 11th steps and wanting that conscious contact with God. And I slipped into this sort of self-pity thing, understanding I came from an alcoholic family with mental illness as well. And I saw, just as evidence, I saw a psychiatrist once and was explaining to her that my mom would brag that I never went through the terrible twos, and then she said that's because you didn't have to, because that's a sign of individuating or like separating from your parents, but you were born into like it really was a neglectful situation. In any case, that's been my like blah blah blah, my story, my sad, you know, story. But so I was praying to God about it and going, how am I supposed to trust you, to turn things over to you, to remind myself I'm no longer running the show when I've been doing this for, you know, since my earliest memories. I've had to run the show, like sort of entitled. And then I really felt the voice, and it was sincere. Like, and I felt like God met me where I was, and he said, you know, you think you've been running the show. I've been with you. I've saved you. I protected you. And I don't have to do anything to get his love, his protection, his care. And it just made all the difference. It's like in this in my mind, I think I'm running the show. I, as a little, maybe 2.5-year-old, you know, I started, and I have not been, and I'm not running the show. And it's just acknowledging that. So I'm really grateful today. I asked God for direction as I woke up, and I'm a teacher. I have a lot going on with Halloween, and I was going to go swimming. And then as I'm putting on the swimsuit, I thought, no, don't skip your quiet time with God. And I know that was that's a miracle. I took off my bathing suit, put my sweats on, and sat with the Lord for, you know, my time with him. And I'm just very, very grateful. Things are different. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Pam B in California. Next up, we have KS in Iowa. Thank you, Kay.
Hi, this is Kay. Thank you so much for your service and everybody's shares. This really is the most helpful thing, to hear how other people have worked these steps. When it comes to God, I kind of decided, you know, sometimes the representation of God wasn't really God. It was maybe somebody's ego, and we got the wrong impression, was one thing that I found. So as to be sure, I questioned that a little bit. Is that God, or is that someone's ego? The other thing I also learned is that with God, it was really more of an experience. This is not something that's tangible. And if you felt the miracle of being relieved from something that you definitely, with all your willpower and success in other categories, but couldn't beat something, and then all of a sudden it's removed, and you have neutrality, and you have peace, and you have surrendered, and your relationships start changing, I think that for me was the proof, was living it. And the other thing is, I always remember, I know people get so frustrated, but sometimes when I looked at my life, when I didn't think God exists, it was because I was trying to be God, or, you know, I got this free will. And I've always heard God is not a rapist. He's not going to make you recover. And there are many things that I can do. When it's actually relieved, I've sort of let go of that. And sometimes I just have to go through moments where it's just really a struggle for me, and it's not all peace and rainbows and sunshine. And I've just learned this too shall pass. And when I get to the other side of that at some point, I do get reassured. It usually never is longer than 3 days for me. It could be longer some point in my life. But if I just stay doing with what works and not let my head start messing with me, I find that God is very loving, very truthful, not going to lead me astray, kind, wants me to have the best. So anyway, that's kind of how I've sort of worked through some of these things about if there's a God, who knows for sure. All I know is I have definitely felt the power of something very loving, caring, and merciful in my life. And I'm just grateful for that. So that's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you so much, KS in Iowa. And we should definitely have time for two more, possibly three. Who else would like to share this morning?
Deborah LT in beautiful Naples.
Thank you, Deborah.
Deb S. in Texas.
Deb F for Freddie?
Yes.
Great. And then I can take one more and we'll see where we go.
Fran.
Say that again. I heard an N.
Libra.
Reva?
Libra N.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, if everyone else can mute their line other than Deborah LT in Naples. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. This is Deborah LT in beautiful Naples, Florida, on a gorgeous day, and so glad to be with you today. This passage reminds me of a story that was told in a seminar I was at, and a man was unsure of the presence of God in his life, and he said to God, "If you're real, why are there so many hungry children?" And God said back to him, "I was about to ask you the same thing." And when I heard that, I thought, oh, yeah, that's kind of the key to it all for me, because I, longtime believer, kind of believed in God before I even went to church when I was a little girl. I was talking to him. But I was talking to him, asking him to do things for me constantly, and it was like he was my butler in the sky. And so I kept asking him to relieve me of my compulsive overeating and relieve me of my compulsive overeating. And it just didn't happen. Lots of other wonderful things happened in my life, and they were all wonderful gifts. But this one thing just could not be excised, even though I prayed daily for it. I went to healers for it. I did all kinds of things. And then I came to OA, and I kind of got this hint that maybe it wasn't about what God is doing for me, but what I'm doing for God. And I started to flip the script, especially when I began sponsoring. And I found through sponsoring others and through my own work that thinking of myself as his servant rather than thinking of him as mine has brought all kinds of beautiful mercy and grace to my life. So I no longer wonder if there is a God. I just wonder, since I do believe that there is one, what I can do for him. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Deborah LT in Naples. Next up, we have Deb F. in Texas. Thank you, Deb.
Hi, good morning, everyone. This has been so rich this morning. Thank you so much, everyone. And I just want to say that for me, when I tend to go, I do believe in God. I do have a relationship with him, and relationship is two-sided. It's not just one-sided, like demanding that my will be done. Okay, stop and think about that. You know, instead, you know, a lot of times what I do is I ask God, what do you think about what I'm thinking? I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about that. What do you think about it? I mean, I involve him into my life and involve him into what I'm thinking, because I know when my thinking is challenged and I, you know, redirect it, that's when things happen. That's when things go. And it's not me. It's me responding to the feedback I get from God, you know. And I do that through the 10th step all the time. That's why I love the steps, you know. It's like baby steps, that movie, What About Bob, okay. Just one of the classic, you know, baby steps. And some of us have to be directed and guided like that. There's nothing wrong with it. We come here because we can't figure it out. And it's not Figure It Out Anonymous. It's Overeaters Anonymous, or just the wrong way of dealing, trying to manage our food, manage our life, somehow control our life so it goes okay. But it's not going okay until we learn how to. I didn't until I learned how to submit to what God wanted for my life and to stop taking things on that just didn't fit, you know, and just to become humble and go, okay, show me my next step. Sometimes I don't even know all of what I'm supposed to do in a day, but show me my next step. So anyway, with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Deb F. in Texas. Next, we have Reba N. And Reba, if you could tell us where you're calling from this morning, please.
Hi, good morning. It's Reba, and I'm calling from New York.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. I really appreciate everyone's honesty in regards to the concept of believing in a higher power and their personal relationship with their higher power. Because for me, I really struggled with the piece of, like, looking back at my childhood, there wasn't a single event or incident that made me think, like, hey, Libby, you know, it would be a good idea to trust in God. He cares for you. He has your back. Just the opposite. From a very young age, I was the only person that was there to protect me from any harm or any of anything bad happening to me. And from a childish perspective, that's a very, even from an adult, that's a very scary place to be in. Now, when I'm older and I'm an adult, and I'm learning that I have a disease, I can solve on my own. And the only way I could solve that I could live a life free of the obsession is by actually turning to God or power outside of myself. And for a very long time, I thought I was doing that. And I was connecting to God. I was praying, but I was praying and begging for stuff that I wanted. And the entire time, God was sending me messages that I was not listening to, that He has a different plan for me. And I needed to let go of my plan, of my ideas, and what I thought I needed in life, and see if I could accept what God has planned out for me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. As we draw October to a close today, I'd like to thank our service team for this month, Margaret D., Diane B., Penny L. C., Alex K., Shelley, Joanne L., and Jan L. Thank you, everyone. I am clapping. All right. We'll be back tomorrow, new team for November. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Penny L.C., will you please read A Vision for You for us? Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Susan. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. So, see to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great. Bring yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.